There is a war going on for your mind. Media mavens mount surgical strikes from trapper keeper collages and online magazine racks. CoverGirl cutouts throw up pop-up ads infecting victims with silicone shrapnel. Worldwide passenger pistols deployed paratroopers. Now it's raining pornography. Lovers take shelter. Post-production debutantes pursue you in NASCAR chariots. They construct ransom letters from biblical passages and bleed mascara into the holy water supplies. There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slaying test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the medias these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they call the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the Internet for Monday, July the 5th, 2010. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, a WOG Global sit rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, redmercury.se. SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and in Second Life, Node Archers at grid 155-74666. That's where you'll be every Thursday night at 7 p.m., unless it's today, in which case you'd be waiting here for an hour because your asshole host did not show up in time. But because they really have nothing better to do but sit around and wait for me, tonight we have in the room with us Anthony, Oi, Bashran, Psy Tentacle, Ibor, Damian Kong Ray. No, okay, that guy's actual name is Damian Conray. Devin, Flash, Hebert, JC, Lachlan, Morps, Ragan Shogun, Roshan Shogun Zenfold. Hey, Sophia, Spider Mike Tack, who did some very nice decorating around here lately and has been producing some wonderful music, and who I haven't forgotten about because I have to give him some lyrics, which I still have not done because I suck. And Zelenzi, Hultzekrantz. You know, God damn it, we got to just do away with all these weird names. We have to just come up with names like Smith, Bob, and Joe, you know, because God help us when Cyrillic shows up in Second Life, because what the hell am I going to do then? You know, I'm not even going to know how to pronounce that. And of course, the angelic voice of my fair-haired co-host, Sumerian. Welcome for hanging out. I guess you did your angelic show earlier.
But I am here. Yes.
You, of course, made your timings, right? You were able to.
Well, luckily, I don't record mine live in front of a studio audience, so my timings are whenever, just as long as it gets done by Thursday.
And whose fault is that? Right, really. I mean, whose bright idea was it to be doing this in front of a live studio audience? Anyway, I'd like to get a hold of that guy. And you're going to a concert tonight, too, which, you know, adds to my pressureness of I suck.
Great, get on it, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're the headliner, and I don't care too much about the opening bands. And I've got tickets, so I can just waltz in anytime and just see the band I'm going for. So not too bad, not too much pressure. I could probably waltz in there at like 10 p.m. So once it's over by 9 o'clock, head up there, no problem.
Well, that's cool. I mean, as long as you're cool. Who's the headliner?
No Means No, which is a band I've loved for many, many years. So they're very, very talented Vancouver band.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I'm going to get you to turn it up just a touch. Okay, Sammy? just because for some reason you got quiet on me, or lean in just a touch. Just a touch. Don't go crazy.
Sure.
Don't get there. That's good. That's good.
I'm cranking it up.
No, well, you know, you got, I mean, the guy's got state-of-the-art powerful everything, and I'm like this retard over here with a four-year-old laptop, so it's like, I got these massive surges, like, how's it now? My ears are bleeding now. That's what's happening now. So thank you very much, Sverian, again, for hanging out and being cool, which is nice.
No problem.
You know, I kind of expected to show up and the room would be empty, because if I showed up here and the room was empty, it was like, your stupid show, right? Yeah, no one showed.
Yeah, I was just about to leave. Yeah, they were here at 7, but then they...
I heard there was porn here, so that's why I'm here. I don't know why you're here. It's your show. Oh, okay, well, bye. You know, that would be okay, you know? Because if you haven't got anybody who likes your stuff, then you don't feel obligated. Yeah. You know, you don't feel that terrible sense of obligation, you know, to actually make your timings and stuff like that. But unfortunately, I take it very, very seriously that people enjoy it, and yes... difficult. So, you're going to be not late for your headliner, so I guess we're not that bad, but, you know, there are other people in the world who need... And I think this is because...
time for dinner, so it's
this
okay.
has got to have to something to do with the artillery, I think. It's got to have something to do with the artillery. No, it does. Everybody who's ever in any kind of military service is broken in some way, okay? Like, the Air Force guys will probably have some weird thing where they have to, like, tie their shoes a certain way. And that's it. The infantry guys wear their watch on the inside of their wrists so it doesn't do night flashing. Or some weird thing that they do, and they get broken in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that that's...
Timing? You're just about...
Artillery is about time. Like, they are... Nobody is more anal about times than the artillery. Nobody is. Like,
people,
ever. Oh, yeah. My God, if you're late, holy... Oh, my God. Like, in the Marines, they'll beast you because you're late. But in the artillery, holy crap. I mean, you know, they flay you alive for being late. Like, they really give them the gears. You know, the guy was...
Yeah.
Illegal stuff, really, for being late. So I think that's why. So I hate being late, and it's like, it seems like such an anal thing, you know? You know, why should you be like this internet pirate radio guy? Should be like, yeah, man, who cares? Fuck the world, woo! And I'm like, no, we gotta be there at 9:45, you know? And it doesn't seem to really jive. Well, you know, they don't really go together.
You know, if you're just going to a party there to hang out, being late is not a big deal, but you know, these people are here and they love us, they want to hear us, and so being late falls heavy upon our shoulders.
I think it's more than that. It's kind of like, you know, I eat meat once in a while, so it's not a big deal, but you're like a vegan, right? Well, I'm like that with time. Okay, I think that I'm not alone, damn it. I think there are temporal people out there. I think these are people who are like, you know, we'd call ourselves time lords or something, and we would be the guys who just get downright religious about showing up on time. You know, like, and it's right. and it'd be great, because then they could police each other too, and they'll talk about, you know, people are sloppy. That I heard you were late. I wasn't late. I posted what I was supposed to, and we could stress ourselves out so bad. It'd be like the greatest gang ever. You know, honestly, there are people who are like that. I'm like that. I hate being late for things. But you know, one of the great things about that is that it spurs me to create bigger and better things. And it allows things to happen on a schedule, which is one of the few reasons why I'm convinced that you'll work with me, is because I can, in fact, keep a schedule for my multitude of flaws.
That is important. People who can come through on promises and like, you know, and if you're working with people that have no sense of timing or no sense of responsibility, it's just like, it just falls apart. It's just totally useless.
Yeah, and you're never going to get nothing done, because at the end of the day, you know, you got to get something done, you know, which is what is important. And I actually was diving today. It was fantastic. I have to rave about this for just a little bit.
So you were diving off a boat. Is this like a new thing? Usually you walk into the water, right?
Oh, yes. Well, it's all shore dives because I don't own a boat. But, you know, the guy who I dive with has got a boat now. So this is very much hot tamales. Because, you know, he's the guy I refer to constantly as Sir Robin. And I've referred to him that a number of times. And brave Sir Robin has got a boat now. And so we went out and did our first. It was his first dive. It was kind of a great day. It was Canada Day, first and foremost. Today's Canada Day. And, you know, symbols for the symbol-minded. And so it was Canada Day, so I got the day off. So, you know, first day out with the boat, is a new boat. Well, yeah. New used boat, but it's newish. And he's a beautiful human being, and he's trying to figure out this boat. And we had a great time, and his old man was there, and we caught a couple of poor innocent crabs, which they're going to cook and eat.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. They're not going to make it. Yeah, and the really funny thing was is they were, like, shaking them in the little container, like, man, you're not going to make it, man. And I felt, like, so bad for the crabs, you know. I was like, oh, man, really? You know, and then I was, like, thinking I should just, like, kick the container over the side, you know, like, oh, damn, I kicked the, oh, I'm sorry, right? And then I'm thinking, no, I,
you know. Run.
No, I can't, you know, I'll eat them. You know, I mean, really, they're crabs. I'm going to eat them. You know, they don't feel pain like you or I. You know, they're just crabs. You know, and they're tasty. Uh-huh. No, crabs are tasty. Crabs are tasty. They are very tasty. As far as crustaceans go. And did you know?
I haven't tasted a human. Maybe they're tasty.
Well, no, you can't eat those. You can't eat those. It makes you sick. Makes you sick.
Oh.
Yeah, you get the brain. You get the brain fungus. Yeah, of if you eat people. Yeah, can't eat people. Got to draw the line somewhere. But it's important to draw the line, and I've looked into that. Cannibalism has happened, but it does eventually drive you insane, which I think is funny.
What if they're brand new humans, like little and stuff like that, and like they haven't developed the brain fungus yet?
I don't know. There's been a surprising amount of research done on cannibalism. Actually, like an amazing, because it's such a taboo thing, right? So there's been like psych studies and all kinds of crazy stuff going on about the cannibalistic thing. And it really, you know, sometimes I think that the people who talk about evolution and whatnot, I think that there's some really, really, it's a pretty good theory. It's better than the invisible sky wizard theory. So I kind of lean towards the evolutionary theory. But I look back at monkeys, and I mean, monkeys are pretty vicious and they beat each other up and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes I think that, man, it's just we're way more sick than monkeys are. You know, like, I'm sure that a monkey would never do some of this stuff because maybe they're not intelligent enough to do it. But, and I know they do some pretty horrible stuff, but I don't know. Some of the crap that people do is just bizarre, I got to say. I got some feedback here. And this, you know, it's been a dark, it's been a dark little while with the Oilmageddon thing. Like, I kind of, everybody kind of knew. Everybody knows this is a horrible thing. Everybody knows this Gulf oil spill. I'm saying it's 6.8 million gallons a day. That's what I'm saying is coming out of that hole. Because I remember the original news reports that were coming in saying that an unrestricted hole pumps out 6.8 million gallons a day. So nobody's really super solid. No, they've changed the number of what that number is. They doubled it like five times. And now
they stop. They always up it. They start at the conservative level and they up it and
they
up it.
They double it.
And eventually,
it's been doubling each time. I think it's up to like 400 or 500,000 barrels. And then they change the measurement function so it gets kind of fuzzy. You know, and the number is at 4,000 barrels or 20,000 liters or several billion gallons or what is it? I don't know. I can't remember how much it is. But people, they blur how much oil is leaking out because it's going on day after day. After day after day. And this is I mean, it was biblically scaled, unbelievably shitty a month ago. And now I'm sort of like sitting here kind of going, holy end times, Batman. Like
getting close to 3 months coming on,
Yeah, and now they're talking, and they're actually saying in the media, they're saying this in the media that it won't be fixed probably until Christmas. Like somehow associating Christmas with this, what is it? That's your time post? You're not going to end of the summer? You're not going to try for maybe the beginning of the fall, end of the fall maybe? No, you're going to punch that shit all the way to Christmas? Are you serious?
Don't get people's hopes up or expectations. Just put it way in the future. People just start forgetting about it. Yeah, they'll fix it eventually, you know.
Yeah, you know, and now the humor has started to come in, too. People are like, well, you know, if there's no oil crisis, we got all we need washing up on the shore. Ba-do-ba-tsh. Right, you know, and people think that this is really hilarious, and this is way worse. Like,
isn't it one of the stages of mourning is making jokes about it or how to deal with crisis situations, like policemen and ambulance workers and soldiers make jokes about horrible crises to try and get through it, right?
They do. That's usually part of the coping mechanism and dark humor and stuff like that. But we're kind of in the stage where it's not really in the coping stage. We're kind of in the stop the alligator from eating my leg stage. You're in the stage where you're driving the Bowie knife into the alligator's head stage. That's what's going on here. We have this huge fucking problem. okay? Like, and it's, yeah. And we're like, we're fucking up that area. Like, the whole Gulf is probably doomed, okay? Like, with the amount of oil that's in there now, it's pumping out towards England right now because it's going to get caught in pretty much the strongest current on the planet, and it's going to flush it
at
Europe, okay? So they'll be pretty pissed off, but it's going to take a while to get there, and maybe as it crosses, you know, this massive channel of the Atlantic Ocean, killing everything in its path, maybe, you know, it'll slow down. You know, and we won't have to worry about it, except for all the deep sea trolling fishermen with their drag lines. I mean, they're going to get pretty pissed off because they're the guys who are going to start complaining about this. It's not going to be the environmentalists. It's going to be all the fishermen who are like, yeah, we're not catching anything. Like, everything's dead. Yeah. Like,
it's all gone.
It's all gone. You know, all bad. I mean, that is an extreme scenario. But that's what we're looking at here. And people seem to be thinking that this is not still going on. All right, and this is like it's like a train wreck. It's like a slow motion nuclear explosion.
Yeah,
and now it's kind of taking
supply chain and
backseat to whatever. I mean, G20, fuck G20. We got to stop this purge down in the States, man. Like, don't forget about this thing down here. This is huge, and it hasn't even begun to get horrible. And that's why I go off on this tangent. Because of this feedback. Hi, Sean. Did you know that depending on the flow pattern, the oil in the Gulf of Mexico disaster may contaminate the secondary coolant systems of local nuclear power plant reactors? I would like to also add to this that the alternatives, there are a slight risk of endangering nuclear plants along the coast or disrupting an already fragile utility grid. This is a peak energy season, so the various southern U.S. power companies will be running at near capacity. This is an interesting point. Okay, so we've got these nuclear power plants running at like crazy capacity. They're going to overheat and explode. And we're going to like dump a bunch of oil into it. Now, isn't that great? Now, if we wanted to go get really crazy with this, you know, who's the guy who did Transformers? What's that guy's name? The guy who made
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Like, if Michael Bay was doing this, right, what would he have go on here? We'd, of course, have the flaming tornadoes, right? We'd have that. Oil tornadoes that picked up out of the ocean, ignited on fire. So you've got, like, you know, Twister, the finger of God. Now it's the flaming finger of God. You know, burning everything like a giant whirling napalm strike into, of course, the nuclear power plant.
It's the XKCD comic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, full props. Full props, right? But yeah. That's now it's going to hit the nuclear reactor, which is great. Yeah. I'm happy.
I think they're talking about the water intake that they would have to filter out. I'm sure it just, if they don't get enough filtered water, they won't be able to cool it down, and therefore the power plants will be having some problems. Because I mean, there's only so much these filtration systems can do. They're not used to getting a huge influx of oil water contaminated with oil.
Well, what it is let's be fair here. Everybody who finds it, they don't find water contaminated with oil. Water contaminated with oil kill fish, and we don't give a shit about that, obviously. So what we're concerned about here is the tar balls. Okay, because I can't think of anything that would gum up anything that even has the word filter in it with faster than with a tar ball. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, and how many times can you change that? Seriously, how fast can you change those? Because I bet
fast
you don't
enough.
Have enough.
I don't think.
I don't think so. Not when you're dealing with 6.8 million gallons a day. Okay, like,
yeah.
This is absolutely horrific. So very, very.
And the fact is you and I can do nothing about this, and even the brightest minds are like giving it expectations of being capped maybe by Christmas, and it's just so frustrating that nobody can do anything about it. We just have to sit there and watch the webcams of oil spewing into the ocean, killing everything from plankton all the way up, eventually getting to us, and we're going to run out of food.
Well, it's to the point now that we don't know what this is going to do. you know what, it's so destabilized. The oceanographers are like, and how would you express how you feel about this? And the guy pulls up the pistol and shoots himself in the head, right? Like, this is...
Pretty much. It's like his world is over. What is he going to study? An empty ocean?
Yeah. I am now a historian. Awesome.
Oil levels for the next 20 years. That's his job, is to study oil levels so they come down far enough so they can put the fish back in the ocean from the one they rescued and are growing in tanks around the U.S. with filtered water.
Now, there's an After Now episode right there. I used to be a weatherman, and I used to be a marine biologist, but now I work in an oil tank that used to be the ocean, and I try to see if there's any kind of history pieces or bones that I can find that prove my theories about fish are real. You know, people stopped believing that whales existed. Like, there was no such... Whales went extinct millions of years ago. Like, the dodo. How long ago did the dodo go extinct? Do you know this?
Within, like, 200 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, it may as well have been a billion years ago, right? Like, who gives a shit? The dodo's gone.
Nobody alive has seen one. Therefore, it never existed.
Exactly. Exactly. It may as well not have. You know, it's... It's pretty wacko. I watched a thing the other day. I'm watching this BBC's Oceans thing, and they mentioned it as this side point. And the sad thing is I cannot. I hope somebody posts this. Somebody see if you can find this. There was a tribe, a people, about 60,000 people that lived on these islands. Okay, and they used to tie wood on their head to like deform their skulls. That was like their thing. Okay, that they would do.
Their fashion statement.
And they were called like. Oh, it's with an L. Okay, L is featured really heavily in the word. It's like, I want to say like Lilliputians or Lilliputians, but it's something like that, or Elemishians or something. It's a very interesting long word. But it's there were 60,000 of them on this island chain, and they were swimming and diving in some caves and stuff like stuff. And these guys were, supposedly really fantastic free divers and everything. And so when they said, well, what happened to them? Columbus showed up and enslaved the entire population. And most of them committed suicide within one generation. The entire, that entire species of that race of people was extinct.
Wow. Gone.
And I'm like, what? Seriously? Like, holy shit. Like, within a span of, like, 32 years? Like, that is, wow. And you'd think that we're maybe how do you justify that? Like, how do you deal with that? That you exterminated a people? Like, holy shit! You know, it's just insane to even think of it.
Just back then, they didn't care that they were proud to eat the last dodo or kill the last remaining tiger, because that was like their conquest. We have destroyed them. We are humans. We are the top of the food chain. It doesn't matter. There's more stuff in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all ours.
And you know, I guess these guys are bored, so to get their kicks, they've got to shoot elephants with handguns. You know, which I'm not so cool with that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'd eat a crab. I don't think I'd... And I might tease him a little bit. But I don't... I'd still respect him. You know, I mean really. The whole thing is, I think I'd be one of those hunters that pray over the body kind of thing. You know? I'm sure that the body'd be like, if you were talking to the horse, it'd be like, oh, you give a shit about your prayers. You're a prick. You shot me. I hate you. But, you know, whatever. I can understand that. Now, do you remember the news story, getting away from oil again? This was a news story. They were talking to the bees. Remember that? The bees all disappeared. And everybody was like, oh, shit. There's no bees anymore, right? The bee problem.
To pollinate the flowers, then there'd be no flowers, and then it would just cascade into horribleness. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, World War Z, you know. Which, incidentally, I'm finally listening to World War Z. It's been something, Max Brooks, World War Z, audio, check it out, very, very good. It's incredibly After Now-esque, you know what I mean? Like, zombies and the After Now go together very, very readily. And I've talked there are mutant packs, right, which I've never talked about, just because there's so much zombie stuff going on that I don't want to do more zombie stuff. And I held off listening and reading any zombie stuff just because everybody's doing zombie everything right now. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't want to do, like, another Me Too monster. I think that, like, you know, the monsters, that, what do we got? We got werewolves. We got vampires. What else? You know, reanimated corpses.
Those are the big
you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the zombies are the cheapest ones. I mean, you just stumble around, put some people in makeup and torn clothes, and that's why they choose them, because it's easy.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's like four monsters. Like, I can think of... that's why Lovecraft was so fantastic, because he, like, took off the yoke when he went imagining monsters. You know, I'm just saying. So I did enjoy... that said, though, I really enjoy World War Z, because there's a lot of stuff in there totally unrelated to zombies, which is very, very cool. So if anyone hasn't checked it out, which I'm sure I'm, like, the last person in the room to not talk about World War
Zombies are cool, but it's about the humans coping with the new society and dealing with their new situation part of zombies. No, but I mean, that's the core of any kind of zombie movie, is kind of dealing with the other humans being kind of cooped up in confined spaces and dealing with this new world of that you have to, you know, adapt to.
Well, and I mean, amongst my favorite zombie films, which, you know, not to jump in here before we do the B story, because, you know, I've got a lot of really horrible news, but the 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later are, I would consider those zombie movies, even though technically they're not zombie movies, they're plague movies, because
genre, you know, people infected or dying or stumbling around, eating other people, right?
There are people who get really picked off of that. You would say it's a zombie movie because zombies follow a certain rules, like vampires, right? You stake through the heart, can't go around in the daytime, stuff like that, right? There's rules.
There's minor variation. There's day vampires now that just sparkle and show themselves off. And I mean, there's offshoots from every genre.
Whoa,
and
no, there's same not. With zombies. There's no day vampires that sparkle. What? No.
They just don't exist.
They don't.
I mean, there is.
Well, like, if somebody takes your genre... Okay, let's put the vampire thing together. Okay, you know, maybe I'll start making vampire movies. Because you think a zombie movie's cheap to make, nothing is cheaper to make than a vampire movie, okay? Nothing. You've got one bad guy that looks like everybody else except for the fact that he drinks blood. Okay, that's your bad guy. Everything else had better be your writing talent, screen, you know, your music and your camera angle and your lighting, okay? And you better have it pretty... And you can do all the hokey stuff. I mean, vampire movies are easy to make. It's almost to the point now that I think we should start making vampire movies. Honest to God, I'll play the guy who hunts the vampire. We'll find creepy-looking dudes, give them a set of fangs, totally do a Hammer horror film, you know, and go at it. Because that way, at least, our vampires... will restore some nobility to that monster. Okay, it's like watching Dracula go the way of the, you know, the chick from the Guess Jeans thing. What's her name? She did the Guess Jeans ad. She married the rich guy. Just died. They totally exploited her before she died. You know who I'm talking about?
Okay. Yeah.
What's her name?
Yeah.
She's dead now.
Can't remember her name. Oh. Yep. She's dead now. Lost out of our conscious.
She's out of our mind.
Collective conscious.
Did you ever see any of that video? I mean, the woman was like, it was like watching this handicapped person
zoned out,
forced to drink, to dance. It was unbelievable. And I just, you know, it blows my mind. And that's what they're doing with vampires. Okay, they're going to do that to vampires. They're going to turn vampires into this, I don't know, like a Pikachu or something. I don't know what the hell they're going to do with vampires, but they're really screwing up that.
They take a trend and then they just conform the trend to whatever they want. They put vampires in high school. It's like, oh, it's a high school drama. Whatever they want, it doesn't matter. It's like they take trendy things and popularize them, right?
Well, I'm telling you this much, man. You know, I can't wait for them to do this with zombies, where, you know, my girlfriend's... Well, I guess they've already started, haven't they? There's that movie, that Japanese one where they got the...
Prejudice zombie.
Yeah.
Books about, you know... Making it appealing to the other half of the demographic, and I mean, the guys go and see the zombie movies, and the girls go read Pride and Prejudice zombie.
Oh God, I weep for my genre. I do. I really do. I really, really do. Well, anyone though who does wind up picking up any of my writing will get unadulterated good stuff. The two existing novels which we have out, The Bloodstained Rabbit and The Scab Wings of Abaddon, which we should really put a disclaimer on those books. You know, like those wraparound things. I'm really thinking we should do that, especially on Scab.
Warning. Well, actual horror.
Like, warning! This is a hard... Well, I get emails sometimes. People are like, dude, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, dude, it's a horror... it's a hard occult horror novel. Okay? It's actually occult researched, all right? Like, that's what it is. You know, that's what it's supposed to be like. It's not supposed to be shiny and happy. It's fucking dark, all right? It's about a journey through the lands of the dead. If you want posies
meant
and
to
romance,
warp your mind.
Yeah, I'm not catering. I've never wanted to cater to those people. Duh. I don't know. Maybe it's sick and weird. Anyway, away from this tangent. In cellular death news, thank you very much, Jay, for sending this in. In London, England, a new study has suggested that a cell phone radiation may be contributing to the decline in bee populations in some areas of the world. Bee populations dropped 17% in the UK last year, according to British Bee Association, and nearly 30% of the United States, say the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Parasitic mites and Viora, agricultural pesticides, and the effects of climate change have all been implicated in what has been dubbed the colony collapse disorder. I love this. I love this.
Everything's
okay.
A disorder.
They know. No, it's fantastic. It's obviously the cell towers are doing this shit. Okay, but of course, they've got the world's richest, slickest lawyers who are deflecting this into climate change, right? It's not us. It's climate change. It's agricultural pesticides and mites. Okay, that's what's doing this. It's not the gigantic towers pumping out radiation. No, no, no. No, no. Even though, like, and to get reports of stories like this where they talk about how, oh, by the way, yeah, actually the cellular stuff is causing problems. Nobody talks about the cell phones causing brain cancer thing. Everybody knows that if you talk on your cell phone, you get a headache. It happens. You feel it. You know what's going on. And this is the most brilliant part. You'll be like on the phone, it's like warm in your hand, and suddenly your ear fucking hurts, and you're like, ah. And you look up at the sign and it says, cell phones can't hurt you. And meanwhile, you're in pain. Like, you're in pain while you're reading the sign that says cell phones can't hurt you, and somehow people still don't believe that you probably shouldn't brain bake yourself with a cell phone. Like, it blows my mind. And let's just cut the shit for 20 seconds, and everybody knows that cell phones are bad for you. Everybody knows that. Okay, come on. Really? You don't think they're bad for you? Really? Yeah, okay. And people who believe that, I guess, are the same people who don't believe... The people who believe that cell phones are not bad for you are the same people that eat a lot of NutraSweet, and they also think that Building 7 fell down because of other two buildings and a plane hit the Pentagon. Those are they're all in that camp.
It fell down out of sympathy, actually.
That happens sometimes, and it's, you know, make a video.
Poor brethren, I will fall down too.
But this, like, the bee thing, everyone's like, so, John, who gives a shit? Honeybees are dead. Well, that's a big deal, because the honeybees...
Yeah.
Simi, are you familiar with the whole honeybee thing? Like, why is that a big deal?
Well, you know, they kind of pollinate the flowers and the food that we eat, and without those, you know, everything dies.
Well,
so we kind of need these bees to bring, you know, make the flowers grow.
Well,
and everything else.
They're the food they need for you to stay alive. I can eat, you know, animals.
What? And what do animals eat?
Well, I don't give a shit. They can eat each other for all I care.
They eat the flowers, they eat the vegetables that they need honeybees for. Everything relies on everything in this world, just like the ocean, right? If the oil kills the small things, the big things eat the small things, etc., etc., and it will make their way up to us. Now, I'm guessing they're talking about cell towers and not cell phones. Like, the bees are not landing on your cell phone, and the radiation does drop off quite considerably from your cell phone as it goes out. But I'm sure the study is relating to cell phone towers and the bee colonies around the cell phone towers, which should be very easy to map. You get, the cell phone tower went up in 2005 and the bee population dropped to zero within a year.
I think rather than just denying it, having the cell phone companies be like, nope, it's not real. It's not real data. We're not liable for this. What they should be doing, which is more responsible, is coming up with a way to like to work around it, right? Like, let's be real. What are we supposed to do? Get rid of the cell towers?
But that's
not going to happen.
That would be admitting. That would be admitting it's actually causing problems. If they say that they're trying to work around it, I mean, they're going to get their best lawyers on this to just as they're doing that. It's pesticides, even though we've banned most of the worst ones. DDT's long gone, and you know, climate change. It's warmer and colder each year, and it's all over the place. But you know, it's those things, not the cell phone towers. Statistics are great for spinning. You can spin any statistic you want into anything else.
Look at the smokers, right? Like, that's the best part. It's like smoking is not bad for you, right? There are people who still believe that shit. I'm not kidding. Like, there are people who you will walk up to, and they will claim with the religious fervor of the true believer that smoking is not bad for you. There's nothing that proves that. Like, honest to God.
Which shows their actual lung damage is coughing. Like, there's your lungs are irritated, like not while you're smoking, but just in general while you're coughing. Yes, some people outside on the long tail of the statistical anomalies live to 90 years old. That's just because they have better lungs than everybody else. But you know, I can't believe that they could say that it's not bad for you.
Oh yeah, there are people that you do believe it, Sim. Come on, you have got enough faith in the stupidity of humanity to believe that some.
Oh, I do. Yeah, it is true.
Oh,
the people. I mean, they'll make excuses. They have cognitive dissonance to justify anything that they do.
Yeah.
In the face of mounting evidence, like massive evidence, just look at people who believe the Earth is flat and 6,000 years old only.
You know, right now I wish I could cue into People Equals Shit by Richard
Just
Cheese.
Play it in the background, right?
It's just People it's just Equals. You know,
maybe I'll
see if I can make that happen.
Dig that up. Yeah.
It's, you know, because, God, sometimes it's hard not to be cynical. But following my B-cell, I've got an awesome piece of cryptozoologic news, which I know that's not actually a word, but I'm going to make it happen. Cryptozoologic news.
Say it enough, it will come true.
It always does. Scientists have discovered an ancient whale whose bite ripped huge chunks of flesh out of other whales 12 million years ago. I love this stuff. Because and they've named it after the author of Moby Dick. The prehistoric sperm whales grew to between 13 to 18 meters long, which is pretty big. Not unusual by today's standards. But unlike modern sperm whales, Leviathan Melvillii, named for Herman Melville, sported vicious tusk-like teeth 36 centimeters long. The ancient beast evidently dined on other whales, researchers said on Thursday's issue of the Journal of Nature. The report of finding a skull of the beast in the Peruvian desert. The researchers named it to the show. Okay, wait, what? They found this skull in the Peruvian desert. Okay.
That's not a big deal. There's things high up on mountains. Like it's the plates shift around, and you know, the Earth is constantly moving. So that is really not a big deal. Like they find things all over the place.
I believe that it's I understand the whole like oceans and it was a sea and all that stuff. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you go to the Burgess Shale Flats and it was like the bottom of the ocean.
Exactly.
I totally dig that. But the thing that gets me here is they're like, oh hey, check it out. Here's an animal. We got this skull here. We found a skull. We've got the one skull. We have no other evidence of this animal anywhere else. And suddenly we're going to build, like, all these archaeologists and everybody are going to jump on this skull, and they're going to write books and books and books. These are the same cats that gave us the Brontosaurus. I give it to you that what they got is they got this skull. They don't know shit about what this skull is. I bet you they may not even be a whale. You know, there's so much data that and let's not even talk about the evidence of and artifacts that are found that doesn't fit with the scientific theory, and so it gets thrown right out the window. That's the funny thing about scientific theory. Not that I'm going to go completely all, you know, I can see Sumerian going, where are you going with this, Sean? What are you attacking science? I can't.
Bunch of liars.
No, it's not that they're a bunch of liars, but they do turn, like, out-of-place artifacts, right? There are all kinds of out-of-place called oop arts, out-of-place artifacts. If you do a search for them, you'll find that there's all kinds of these weird, anomalous, Fortean things that exist that shouldn't exist. And because it doesn't fit with the scientific model, it gets, you know, they have to come up with some weird way to make this thing fit with their model, which is totally preposterous. Now, it's entirely...
No, but the one, to. That's what they do. You take what's given to you, and you try and your best to make it fit. And when another piece of evidence comes up, you make it fit better. What are you supposed to do? This is Outworld. This is from the other dimension. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I understand that's the wrong approach. Science is not about making making evidence fit a theory.
Building a working model of the universe based on the evidence given at the time.
Well, the way I remember science working is if you can't prove something wrong, it's correct. That's how I remember science. So, I mean, if you have a whole bunch of things that make your picture of the history look really, really nice, which we're arguing the same point here. My point here is that I think what people just like the Brontosaurus. There are people who swore up and down, wrote books about the Brontosaurus, and then, bang, doesn't exist. There are people who are really upset about the Brontosaurus not existing. But the point is that if you try to tear down a big scientific theory with new data, there's resistance to that. That's why you need permits to dig in Egypt. Okay, that's why you have to have these guys who find underwater cities that are quite clearly underwater cities, but because that doesn't map tectonic movements, you wind up with these, you know, gigantic mammal skulls with, like, these huge tusks in the middle of the Peruvian desert. And, they suddenly got it back to 12 million years, and they've got a whole ecosystem. And they just found this skull, and they got all this stuff they're cooking up about this skull. And I'm like, okay, if that's what you got on the go, but...
Some of that resistance is political, and some of it is that, yeah, you do have to prove it. You can't just say, yeah, this is a new creature. Well, come on, give us a little bit more. You can't just throw the whole thing out of whack just because you found this skull. You need some good evidence and something to prove that it was in this ocean at this time, at this age, and was it a one-off? Like, how did it fit? Like, yeah, it takes a little bit of evidence to throw the whole thing and make a new map.
I disagree with you. I respect your conclusions, but I disagree with you because, I think the most important thing here is the fact that it says it's not really my problem to make this skull fit with science. That's not really the issue, but we got this giant skull here. So I love stories like that. Ha! I'll tear down your fragile scientific world, Sumerian. You just wait. Screaming madness waits for you, my friend. Screaming madness. Now, let's get back to more horrible news about the oil. Hey, awesome. Oilmageddon update news. Thank you very much, Wyandi. Are you sure that you want to help clean up the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico? In a previous article from this issue, they documented the number of health dangers from the oil spill that many scientists were warning us of. And now it's been reported on CNN that the vast majority of those who worked in the cleanup from 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill, everyone remembers that, in Alaska, are now dead. Almost everyone involved with that oil spill, almost all of them are dead. In fact, the experts on CNN had said that the life expectancy of those who worked on the cleanup of the Exxon Valdez spill was about 51 years of age. Holy shit. What?
Consider a little short, hey?
Yeah, consider the fact that the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico is now many times worse than that of the Exxon Valdez disaster. Oh, crap. So, if the blood...
It's doing like two... El Valdez about every 1 or 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, no, I believe it's the last numbers was it was once every 10 days, and then they doubled it a couple of times. So it's, yeah, probably you're probably right, Sim. It's probably once every couple of days here. Okay. The truth is...
On the numbers that you go with, yeah.
So they're saying they're saying the truth about what we have here in the Gulf of Mexico is a toxic soup of oil, methane, benzene, hydrogen sulfide, other toxic gases, and very poisonous chemical dispersants such as Corexit 9500. Breathing all of this stuff is not good for your health, but the reality is that the true health toll of this oil spill is not going to be known for decades. However, early reports are not encouraging. Already a large number of workers are cleaning up the BP disaster in the Gulf of Mexico are reporting they are suffering flu-like symptoms. According to another new report, exposure to the oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico has resulted in 162 cases of illness, reported in the Louisiana State Health Department. In addition, according to the local Pensacola news source, 400 people have sought medical care for upper and lower respiratory problems, headaches, nausea, and eye irritation after trips to the Escambia County beaches. Now, there's also what they're not talking about here. If you look around on YouTube, you'll find that there's people getting rashes in the water. Like, they're getting, like, these open sores on their legs because of this. So that's an interesting little update there, that they're probably not telling you that it's not just going to kill fish. And if this oil starts moving inland, okay, and if the storm season hits and it starts covering everything in that area in this toxic crap, you know, I would think that if anyone is listening to this and you live in that region, now would be a good time to get the hell out of there. Really, you know, maybe it's time to move. Yeah. It's not your fault. I'm sorry.
Land.
But, yeah, if you are affected by, like, ocean, like, if water falls on you and it's salty, okay, you should, during a storm, you should probably get the hell out of there. Because it sounds to me like this could be really, really bad. And I think that because nobody's talking about how toxic this stuff is, I'm really worried that people are going to get hurt. So don't screw around. If you're living in those regions, man, you want to get the hell out of there. I don't know what's going to happen with this Oilmageddon thing, man, but it's we make jokes about it, and we're trying to, you know, talk about it in some kind of way, because, yeah, it's another day and another billion tons of oil's in the ocean. Everybody's going to die. What's weather looking like? You know, like, honestly, there's not much you can really say about it except to try to give it to you new. But apparently now the shit is so toxic that it'll kill you if you touch it. So good deal. Good deal.
Mm.
Let's get into some robotics, because they're not affected by oil. In fact, they'll probably like this. Fat Ninja sent this one in. Even for the Pentagon Science Fiction Division, it seems like a stretch. But in 2007, DARPA really did launch an effort to build a programmable matter that could reconfigure itself on command. Then 2 years later, Harvard and MIT researchers really did make progress building a self-folding origami that just might be able to twist themselves into different shapes. Yesterday, DARPA-backed electrical engineers at the two schools released stunning results. Shape-shifting sheet of rigid tiles and elastomer joints that can fold itself into a little plane or a boat on demand. So this is like basically your Gen 1 T-1000 from Terminator 2. Now, all it is is a folding, moving fabric, but it's pretty interesting. It's a first step towards making everyday objects whose mechanical properties can be programmed, Harvard Robert Wood said in a statement. The sheet, less than half a millimeter thick, is studded with thin foil actuators and flexible electrons. The demonstration material contains 25 total actuators divided into five groupings. A shape is produced by triggering the proper actuator groups in sequence, the statement explains. So it's a very interesting little piece of tech that's coming out there. Now, they've been doing stuff. I've seen some stuff in the automotive industry where they're able to shape body parts using, like, fabric polymers and stuff like that. Isn't what we're talking about here. We're talking about stuff that's trying to rearrange itself to be, more functional. Now, we've seen there's some snake robots that they've been working on, and they got some different sort of quasi-transformable robots. But this is the first step towards an actual transformable robot, and DARPA's funding. Mm-hmm. So, interesting. You know, robots are cool. We like robots.
Yeah. Cool tech, especially like this. And it takes the brilliant people to kind of figure out an application for it. And it's cool in itself. Like, just looking at the video, that's awesome. It's like transforming origami into boats and things. It's just cool.
I think it's neat. I've got a soft spot, of course, for the robots. Now, on to some cyberpunk kit. Now, this is an interesting little device for $100. I'm really sure there's a way that you could just get the software and turn any USB key into this device, but they're selling it for $100. But this is what law enforcement and businesses are going to have available to them, and you need to be aware of the tools that the people who are supervising you are going to be using. Okay?
Yes.
So that's my reason for covering this, because this is one hell of a piece of cyberpunk kit. This is called a porn stick. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. This is a USB key that grabs pornographic images on your computer. Paraben's porn stick detection is a thumb drive device that will search through all the images on your computer, scan them for pornographic content, create a report of suspected pornographic images. It even scans deleted images and internet cache files, so there's no hiding internet activity. This means even if Internet Explorer cache files are deleted, many images can be recovered and scanned for pornography. Best of all, no software installed on the target machine, so they don't know you performed a search. You can even securely delete objectionable images. This is a product that is going to be marketed to managers. Okay, protect your computer from unwanted pornography.
Oh, and schools. And schools, too.
Yeah, of course. Someone doesn't have to be seeking out pornographic images to contaminate your computer. In fact, many porn sites contain harmful viruses that can do more damage. The porn detection skip offers you peace of mind that your system is clean of unwanted, illicit, or even illegal images. Parents,
it's not the images that are doing damage to your computer.
No, this
it's
is really
the viruses.
No, this is true. Parents, at the average age a child is exposed to pornography online is 11 years old. Well, that's way off. I'm sure kids are into porn probably by the age of 7. Probably if they're
really.
That's not. I'm not happy about that, but I would say that's probably more. They may not be actively searching for it, but chances are by now they've run across it, and pornography is residing on your computer right now. Your kids have it. Employers,
that's hilarious.
Besides,
I never just run across porn on the internet. I never just run across it.
No.
You want it, you search for it. If you don't want it, you just don't run across it.
Besides wasting time, employers, and resources, pornographic content on your company computers exposes you to legal risks, as well as disgruntled employees.
What, the employees are disgruntled? This porn isn't good enough.
Yeah, I can't remember last time I walked into accounting and they had, like, you know, Debbie Does Dallas going on 3 monitors. I'm like, hey, whoa! Yeah, that happens all the time. Schools and churches. Yes. Especially Catholic churches. Despite internet filters, pornographic content can easily contaminate the house of God. And whether or not copied from flash drives or other media, or downloaded from email, or simply missed by your filter, unwanted and illicit images should be found and eradicated. Probation and law enforcement. It goes on and on and on. Okay, so I'm looking at this thing and I'm kind of going, you know, it might be worthwhile just to get one of these things and run it on your own kit. You know what I mean? Like, you just have, like, you know, everybody has, like, things like Privacy Guardian and crap like that that they use to, you know, not be a data litter bug. You know, so it's a pretty interesting.
Good. If you run this on your computer, you can kind of, once it's got a list of it, you can just do a cut and paste and then make a good folder of all your stuff, and then it's all in one place and it's not all scattered, and then you can browse through it easily.
Or you could go up to your boss's computer and hit his computer with the porn stick and then make a file.
Let's see how good his collection is, right? You can get his stuff.
Well, and you know, next time he's going to talk shit with you at your review, you hand him a USB key and go, hey man, this is all your porn, which is... I can make it publicly shareable, so don't fuck with me, okay? Because then we'll find out what really turns you on. So, you know.
With date and timestamps.
Yeah, with date and timestamps. So, dude, you know, if you want to play the game, we can do that. But that's an interesting piece of kit. I thought it was cool, so I put it up there. Now, as well, it wouldn't be your daily hack. Or, pardon me, it wouldn't be your Cyberpunk kit unless I covered this story. The entire goddamn internet sent me this story, because this is pretty cool. If you're all the type who gets a little... Now, you know, sometimes the guys who write these quippy little commentaries, I'd like to put them in a room and get...
They're
like,
so clever.
I want to get Dan Severin on these guys. I really do. I just want to get all Darth Maul about this shit. If you're the type who gets a little nervous about connecting jumper cables to your cord after you forgot and left the trunk open overnight again, this is one military gadget you will probably not be coveting. It's called RAPS, the Remote Auxiliary Power System. The U.S. Air Force Spec Ops personnel requested something like Batman that would enable them to add some juice to their night vision goggles and GPS units and Hello Kitty media players while in the field. This is the result. When thrown over a power line, it makes contact with the bare ground and then cuts through the insulation to the live wire within, pulling the power down to the AC/DC transformer built into the spool. The device is proven safe for use in the rain and even underwater. We're thinking we'd rather sing Kumbaya to ourselves than recharge our iPhones in this matter. Video demonstration ahead. So it's a very, very cool way to get some juice. Now, I don't know anything more about the RAP system, but it's pretty sexy when you consider that you could just take this thing, throw it over a line, and you have instant power. It's like a portable vampire clamp. I mean, that's
all.
That's some good military know-how right there. That's why the Army's cool.
Well, it'll your kit bag. Like, it's small.
It is small. So I'm like, So any of the WOGs, and I know I have a huge amount of WOGs that are in the military that listen to me. Can you send me one? That'd be great. If they fall off the truck. Remember, you know, stealing from the Army is not a crime. It's a tradition. All right. And as well, we have, of course, our daily hack. Now, the first one, I don't have anything to talk about it because it's a Make magazine article, which I think is really, really great, about how to make an off-grid washing machine, which, holy crap, is that ever a good idea? Because no one ever thinks about washing your clothes when the power goes out. Because, honestly, the importance of being clean, everyone remember the first season of Patrolling, the importance of being clean is vital, okay? Because that's how you keep things like disease away. And disease just wrecks everybody's day. So you wanna definitely look at that, especially with these problems we're talking about with the solar storms and whatnot. And let's not forget about a Faraday cage. This is a do-it-yourself Faraday cage. And this was sent to me by Bucky Fuller when he wrote in earlier. And this Faraday cage, we've established that an electromagnetic pulse incident will fly all electronics. This occurs whether or not they are plugged on or tuned in. This also affects automobile batteries, computers, medical equipment, etc. Needless to say, in such an instance, life as we know it would dramatically change. Even more distressing is the fact that if a strike of an EMP is not likely to give any warning. You don't see it, you don't feel it, you're just left with the sudden consequences and preparedness you have on hand. So, other than your preparedness, supplies, your new best friend may be a Faraday cage. In fact, with the knowledge of the protection of the Faraday cage can provide you, you may be able to enjoy nearly as comfortable a lifestyle as you did prior to the electromagnetic pulse. While being mentally prepared to survive in the Stone Age may be helpful if it's not necessary. Aren't you glad? Now, a DIY Faraday cage is, I'm thinking, Samarian, you're going to look at this, see how easy it is to make this. You're then going to talk to me, and you're going to want me to help you make one for the Drobo. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because, oh, yeah. Well, honestly, you know, if what if a bomb goes off?
Yeah, it looks pretty simple. I mean,
yeah.
That's true.
But,
or something else, power surge, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, I couldn't really, when I found a do-it-yourself, well, when Bucky sent me a DIY Faraday cage, I mean, I had to put it on the show. I mean, come on, do-it-yourself Faraday cage?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty sexy. That's pretty sexy. Mm-hmm. And I even have Recomedia for everyone today. This is a documentary. I don't know if you've seen this one, but it's something you'd love, Sim, because you're a pretty dark bastard generally. So this is called The Collapse. Okay, Americans. Okay. Thanks very much to Alex for sending this in. Americans generally like to hear good news. They like to believe that a new president will right old wrongs, a clean energy will replace dirty oil, and a fresh thinking will set the economy straight. American pundits tend to restrain their permission and hope for the best. But is anyone prepared for the worst? Meet Michael Rupert, a different kind of American. A former Los Angeles police officer turned into an independent reporter, he predicted the current financial crisis in his self-published newsletter, From the Wilderness, at a time when most of Wall Street and Washington analysts were still in denial. Director Chris Smith has shown an affinity for outsiders in films like American Movie and The Yes Men. In The Collapse, he departs his stylistic from his past documentaries by interviewing Rupert in the format he recalls from the work of Errol Morris and Spalding Gray. sitting in a room that looks like a bunker, Rupert recounts his career as a radical thinker and spells out the crisis he sees ahead. He draws upon the same news reports and the data available to any internet user, but applies his unique interpretation. He's especially passionate about the issues of peak oil, the concern raised by scientists since the 70s that the world will eventually run out of fossil fuel. And while experts debate in this in measured tones, Rupert doesn't hold back at sounding an alarm, portraying an apocalyptic future. Listening to his own rapid flow of opinions and viewing the viewers likely to question some of the rhetoric as paranoid or deluded, and sway back and forth between the make of the extreme. Smith lets viewers form their own judgments. So, very interesting stuff. He's not Alex Jones. He's another guy who's got some, you know, dark stuff to say. It's I made it through the first quarter of it, and it's definitely worth checking out. You know, and it's more grist for the mill of for the after now that I'm writing. So, you know, gotta like it, which is why I got into World War Z as well, because it's been very helpful, very helpful.
Inspirational.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Simi, have you got any rant news at all? Is anything coming up?
Rat Meat Tomorrow. There's the Rat Meat Tomorrow, which I forgot to talk about last week because of the temporal time shifting. It's always very difficult for me to get that straight.
Because I always think
it's way too far ahead. I know, yeah. Temporal time shifting messes with our minds.
Well, by the time this is downloaded, by the time this is downloaded, it was 2 days ago. So, you know, it's already
it's
too
wacky.
Late. It's happening.
It's already too late.
It's already too late, but that's okay. That's okay. I want to start changing up how we're doing some of these rant meets. I want to get these rant meets to be more of an event. You know what I mean? I want people to actually have a reason to go there other than say, hey, do you listen to rant? I do too. Okay, what are we going to do now? I don't know. See, now that's the problem. And if we could somehow get, I don't know. And the problem is when you start suggesting stuff, you know, people start getting, they try to use these people. Like, they try to make money off them or whatever. So, I figured I'd talk to people out there in server, right? I'd give it out to the web.
It's a good idea.
Say, hey, is anybody getting, like, everyone knows us. They know what we're doing. We're trying to do these rant meets. What do you think? Let me know. You can email info@rantradio.com or newsreel@rantradio.com, and let's have a think on this. I've got a few ideas, and I'd like to try different things, but even stuff that I'm into, not everybody else is into. Maybe movies?
Yeah.
I've often thought a movie night would be good. You know, every Friday, these guys go see movies.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's not a bad idea.
You know, you're into it
for
20
bucks. And then discuss
the
movie, like see a cool movie that everybody... Because we're all kind of like-minded, all the people that come together, we know what kind of movie we'd like to go and see, right?
Well, and you could vote on it, depending on how crazily democratic you want
to
be, or maybe land or something. I don't know. Maybe see what emerges. Let's give it some thought. But that's just a general sort of idea. But that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please go to rantmedia.ca and you'll find more than enough locations for which you can give us your money. Or, more importantly, buy some stuff. We got some pretty groovy stuff. Mm-hmm. And guaranteed, if you're at all entertained by anything you've heard on the show tonight, we have got more media for you. And you will never find anyone who gives you as much for so little coin. Holy crap. Worry not, security guard working at night. We will get you through it. Long haul trucker, we're here for you. You know, definitely. And we're not going anywhere. So if you want to help us out, please do so. And you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. Now, for the people who downloaded it, the show, by the way, I did want to mention that at the beginning of the show, there is an intro piece which was put together by, oh snap, I'm trying to remember what their name is, Flowbots, and it's there's a war for your mind, and that's what's on the intro of the show. So just in case you're wondering what
very
it is, I don't know if you've heard of these
media
guys. They're pretty neat, but that's what we're going out with today as well. But I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And don't forget to sign up for the Rant newsletter. Find out what's going on in your community. We're about as grassroots as it gets, and we need to get more grassroots in your community. So, hey, talk to us. Say hello. info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. Now, this Laughing Man sent in the track that we're going to fade out with today. It's Flow Bars, and the song is called, Flow Bots is the group, FLOBOTS. And the song is Handlebars, which is kind of neat. They kind of seem sort of reminiscent of Gorillaz. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the dudes are somehow connected or same sort of producing. But if you liked Gorillaz, you probably like these guys too.
2008. Yeah, that was a big hit in 2008.
Was it? I had it sent to me, so I mean, I don't monitor that kind of music at all. So I was just like, wow, really? Wow.
Do I? Yeah.
So I don't know if you have, but if you haven't heard this song, I guess it's from 2008, but that's great. That's awesome. I love it when I find stuff like that because you're like, really? They had like five albums that were huge hits. And you're like, wow, it's like showing somebody KMFDM for the first time. And they've never heard of KMFDM. And they're like,
then you get
this is awesome, you know. And yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah. To discover like 20 albums and they can go crazy for the next couple weeks.
Yeah,
right?
And they're just like the most hard, you know, they're taking German now and they just think it's the best show ever. Yeah, you love that stuff. You'll love that stuff. And that's what it's about. It's about bringing people together. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars.
Look at me, look at me. Hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crooked. I can show you how to do-si-do. I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, but I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem. I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took? I can do anything that I want, cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone. On the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive in such a small world. I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule. Of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars, no handlebars.